You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg Podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Call him every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Happy Monday! Good morning, good morning, good morning for those that are up on this Memorial Day 2023. What is going on, everybody? Dan Grasso in for the guys this morning here on DNR. You know where you are. 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. We're taking it right up until 10 o'clock. 4 big hours. My buddies are here. Ray Santiago, he got up early this morning. He came to work. So did Tom Bauer. He had the earlier trip in this morning from the Jersey Shore, but he's here. We are all in one piece, and we'll keep you entertained here on this Memorial Day 2023. First, though, shout out, though, to everybody, all our brave men and women, those who pay the ultimate sacrifice to allow us to enjoy the freedoms that we so enjoy. The reason we get to get up early this morning and talk about sports and goof around on the radio for a few hours and enjoy what has been a really awesome weekend as far as the weather is concerned and the whole nine yards. So, again, the ultimate thank you to all that paid the ultimate sacrifice here on this Memorial Day. And I got to remind you, as always, this portion of the show is driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group, number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. Ray, good weekend so far?
I've got no complaints about the weekend, sir. How about you?
No complaint. Well, slight complaint. I'll say slight complaint. And I guess I'm partially responsible for the slight complaint. That would be, I'm dealing with a sick individual at home. Yeah, that's not good. But, and the reason why I say I take partial responsibility is because I was laid up last week, right? Missed a couple of days of work, feeling kind of crummy. I don't know, whatever the hell got me, it got me. So naturally, whenever you have something of a viral nature in the house, the people you share the house with, they're generally also going to get it unless they move into a bubble for a few days. And my poor wife, unfortunately, has what I had in the last week. So she's fighting it a little bit this weekend. Not ideal because it's the holiday and the weather's great and you want to do outdoor activities and that type of thing. But that's just not in the cards because she's under the weather and that stinks.
No, you don't want that. And I know you were last week. You missed a couple of days to deal with that. So
yes,
couldn't have been easy for her to deal with. And there's a reward to get sick off of you.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's the reward. I don't know what the reward is, but you know she probably sees it a little bit of a different way. But that's the reality that we're dealing with right now. So
I hope she feels better fast.
You know what we all do. We all do because then that probably frees up some things for myself. Looking at it from a selfish manner. You know, it's kind of depressing. Like, yesterday was a wasted day. And she's sitting there coughing all over the place. You don't want to go outside. You don't want to do anything. She doesn't feel well. And then I'm, of course, the one that really just can't enjoy myself because I have a sick person in the house.
And not to mention that you're still kind of on the mend yourself. You're not 100%. You're battling.
Not 100. I would say maybe like 93. How's that?
That works.
That still gives you an A in class, right? Listen, a 93?
That's why we appreciate the effort. You get up early. You barely slept. Mm. you make the trek in here on the city. Now, granted, it's Memorial Day. You're going to have a little bit less traffic, but
that was easy. That was the easy part today.
Well, you know, we'll see as the show goes. We'll We'll keep you engaged. We'll keep you your energy level high, and we'll get through this.
The energy level's fine. I mean, that's going to be no issue. And you're right. I didn't get a hell of a lot of sleep last night. And the reason is because my body clock is not in this routine anymore. Right? Like, I haven't done the show with you guys in a while. It's probably been, what, maybe a month and a half, something like that, 6 weeks, maybe in that ballpark. So, like, once you do it for a little bit, right, you get in the rhythm, and then it's like, secondhand, it's no problem. So, like, I'm one of these people, like, I can't force myself to go to bed early if I'm not used to doing it. So last night, like, I wasn't going to sleep probably as early as you or, you know, even Tom for that matter, or it was just like, oh, I got to wake up early tomorrow. And I just went to bed kind of whenever. So I'm not on a lot of sleep, but I feel good. Feel lively. Had the coffee this morning. Everything's great. You know, feel like $1 million. And we got a lot of things to talk about today. Because generally speaking, like, when you get to the Memorial Day holiday, right? I mean, baseball is ordinarily the number one talking point, right? In the sports world, here in the city, for example. And it's that, you know, unofficial mile marker, the first one. When you evaluate where you are as a baseball team, your strengths, your weaknesses, you encouraged, are you discouraged? Are you optimistic about the rest of the season or the alternative to where there's nothing but pessimism? And certainly if you look around Major League Baseball, there's some teams that are feeling a little bit better about themselves this morning. And here in the city, I think, look, Mets and the Yankees haven't buried themselves, either one of them yet, in either way, shape, or form. I think we know, but one probably maybe looks at the sun coming up this morning a little bit rosier than the other does, even though one is technically out on the West Coast right now, getting ready to play a baseball team tonight. The other one licking their wounds back in the city after another less than promising road trip. And, of course, we're talking about the Mets. And that's the starting point today. You know, the Yankees took a series from the lousy Padres, and now they're out in Seattle getting ready to begin a tough trip against the Mariners and against the Dodgers. We'll talk plenty about them as we move forward, but you got to start with the Mets here, because on this Memorial Day, the Mets have played 54 games. They're 27 up, they're 27 down. I don't have to tell you that is a 500 record. 500 means mediocre. It means average. Now, after 54 games, do you cancel the season? No, of course not. Right? You still got over 100 still to play. A lot of things can happen. And last year at this time, I don't think I have to remind people, because I'm sure it's something that's been uttered many, many, many times over, a team known as the Atlanta Braves, who were defending World Series champions a year ago, they had that going for them, but they were right where the Mets are at this point in the season. Braves were 23-27 after 50 games last year. And you know what the Braves ended up doing then? They ran off 14 consecutive victories. Now, I'm not a betting man, but if you ask me, would I put my last dollar on the Mets rolling off 14 consecutive wins at this point in time? I think the answer would be no. Because what encouraging signs have you seen from this team? And every time you maybe want to think that there's light at the end of the tunnel and this team is maybe starting to turn things around, they have a road trip like they just got completed here over the last couple of days. And I said last week, right, before that series even got underway in Chicago, remember, the Mets had a 5-game winning streak, and they hit the road. And if you were listening to the show, I said then that the way that they're playing baseball in this nice little 5-game spurt, it's not sustainable, right? It's not something that is going to carry you consistently throughout a long season. Winning one-run games, coming from behind to win each and every one of those games, you're playing with fire. And when you play with fire, ultimately you're going to get burned. And that's what happened to the Mets when they went out on the road against two bad baseball teams, and they had another subpar road trip. You lose 4 out of 6 to 2 last place teams. And that's what the Cubs and Rockies are. Rockies worse than Chicago right now, but Chicago finds themselves in last place because they've hit the skids. The Cubs, how about this? After taking 2 out of 3 from the Mets at Wrigley Field, what did the Cubs do this weekend? They let the crappy Cincinnati Reds come in there and sweep them. Sweep them. And I don't want to hear any excuses either about Colorado. Well, you know, it's like pitching on the moon, the altitude, the thin air. You gave up 21 runs in the last two games. 21 runs. That's inexcusable. Colorado stinks. I don't care where these games are being played. And you know what? Let's be honest with ourselves right now. The Mets pitching is horrific. It's horrific. It's one of the worst staffs in all of Major League Baseball. And I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse here, but it's really no different than some of the stuff we've been saying all season. Explain to me that why for $360 million, which is what this team's collective payroll is, or thereabouts, right? Highest, most expensive team in the history of baseball. Why are there so many flaws and so many deficiencies with this team? Who do you point the finger at? You know, the owner is the guy who just gives his checkbook to his front office and say, here, go build me a winner. So doesn't that fall on the decision-making of the people who put this team together? You can't blame Steve Cohen. He's giving you every single resource possible to go out there and try to win games. How in God's name do they have a pitching staff which is no better than the 25th best in Major League Baseball right now? Which also means, if you want to look at it a different way, they're five from the bottom in terms of ERA, every meaningful statistic known to man. And the starting rotation is even worse than the bullpen. And go figure, because the bullpen, you're missing Edwin Diaz, who was only the best reliever in baseball last year. And the starting staff has two future Hall of Famers in Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. And Verlander was part of the problem on Saturday night. I mean, how many more times are you going to see Tyler McGill go out there once every 5 days and basically spit the bit as soon as he gets the second time through the batting order? You know, Carlos Carrasco at this point in his career is no better than a number four starter. Kodai Senga, for all the hoopla and all the ghost fork stuff and all the accolades and, oh, we got to get this guy and, oh, he's a future star and all the mysticism that came with him when bringing him over from Japan. How good has Kodai Senga been this year, really? Really? He's pitched no better than a number four starter. And the two Hall of Famers that you've put all your hopes and dreams on have been spotty at best. At best. Maybe the only encouraging sign is the fact that Scherzer's been pretty good his last few times out since he came back from the neck injury. Right? He's pitching to like a one ERA. Let's see if that carries through over the course of a long season. You can hope. And by the way, when it comes to the pitching, I'm going to bring this up too. Not enough. Not enough has been talked about with allowing Chris Bassitt to walk during the offseason. I didn't like it at the time, and now it's proven to be true. Chris Bassitt wasn't spectacular, right? But you know what Chris Bassitt was? He was steady. He was dependable. He'd give you a professional outing each and every time he goes out there. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball in the second half of the season last year. Up in Toronto right now, he already strung together about like 28 consecutive scoreless innings over three starts or something like that. And you let him walk for $63 million? That's all he got from the Blue Jays. $63 million. Steve Cohen, when he gets up out of bed in the morning, $63 million falls out of his pocket. He doesn't even know it's gone. And they decided to let him walk because you had to go get Kodai Senga. You had to go get Jose Quintana, who hasn't thrown a pitch for you yet this year. And oh, by the way, Bassitt did nothing except lead the team in innings last year. You know, a starting staff which has become a mash unit this season. You let your innings leader just walk out the door for nothing. That one never made sense to me all throughout the winter, and it's proven true now. Can't be good teams, can't be bad teams. They're sub-500 against teams with losing records this year. You know, they went through that stretch at the beginning of the month of May when the schedule supposedly softened up and they played horrible baseball. Horrible. They're 15-16 this year against sub-500 teams. And oh, by the way, look at the schedule. Look at the month of June and see what's on tap for the New York Mets. Don't get any easier. Gets a lot harder, as a matter of fact. Now, you're going to tell me that they're going to play to the level of their competition and all of a sudden that they're going to start to look like a team maybe we all thought that they were supposed to be way back at the beginning of the year? You know what the only saving grace is for the Mets right now? Is that there's only six teams in the National League, six, that have a winning record, which is unbelievable. Six teams out of 15 have winning records. Mets aren't one of them. But let's say it like it is. 54 games into the season, Mets are an average team. Nothing more, nothing less. Maybe the only optimism you have in this off day before the Phillies come in tomorrow is that Francisco Alvarez is starting to look like a star in the making. Right? Francisco Alvarez is starting to look like a guy who was considered, you know, one of the top prospects, if not the number one prospect in baseball. He's hitting the hell out of the ball. Every time they needed a big hit this weekend, he gave it to him. Unfortunately, he couldn't pitch. But the guy always seemed to put bat on the ball in a time when they needed it the most. Unfortunately, you know, he almost had another big one yesterday when he hit that frozen rope right off the middle, the one hopper to Tovar, which got turned into a 6-4-3 double play. But a few feet to the left or to the right, that one's through the infield. And maybe a big inning there for the Mets, but not to be. They got some work to do. No doubt about that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Game 7 tonight. You got the Heat, you got the Celtics. I don't know. The way I look at it, I still think the pressure is on the team that had a 3-0 lead. And that's Miami. You know, I don't care that the game is in Boston. They could be playing the game on Mars. It doesn't matter. If you're up 3 games to love, and no team in the history of the sport has ever coughed up a 3-0 series lead in a best of 7, you do not want to be that first team. And therefore, that's why Miami, it's all on their shoulders tonight. They cannot squander this opportunity. And that's after losing 3 consecutive games. I still look at it as them squandering an opportunity. And, you know, Ray, you said something, you know, when we were talking off the air a little while ago. And you know what? You're 1,000% right. We were all ready to bury Joe Mazzulla after the first 2 games of this series, right? Like, fire him. Like, some people were actually suggesting that.
Some people still are.
Some people still are. No, but I mean, like, right in the middle of the series, fire the guy in the middle of the series, they were saying. Like, Brad Stevens should just coach the team himself when they were down 2-0, 3-0, whatever. Not like they have a shot anyways, but you can't let this guy call the shots anymore because he's lost. Boy, you talk about saving face. I don't think it's going to happen. But anything short of the Celtics losing by like 40 tonight and they don't even like show up, period, at least they went out fighting, you know? They went out with a little bit of spirit. They didn't just like roll over. And I think that the head coach deserves some credit for that. Did a hell of a nice job designing that last play for the game winner. It's not always going to work the way you want it to. The ball ain't going to bounce the way you want it to every single time. Probably more often than not, it won't. But you know what? He gets credit for that. So go Joe Mazzulla. Let's say hi to Jose in Brooklyn. He's up next here on 98.7. Jose, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Dan. How's everything going?
Jose, things are outstanding, my friend. How's your weekend treating you?
It's treating me very well. I'm just, you know, waking up, reminded. I'm like, wait, no work today. And I'm getting now ready for, you know, doing some household chores and then getting ready for my aunt's barbecue because she's doing like a whole family reunion.
Very nice. There you go. That's a full day right there.
Oh, definitely. So I just wanted to definitely call in, check in with you. So definitely almost forgot that you were in for DNR. So wanted to go in and definitely add some insight on this Game 7. I think all the pressure is definitely on Miami. But my concern with Boston, and it's always been with this Miami team, is if they do get into a rhythm where they kind of start hitting some threes, they can kind of take that crowd out, and the last thing Boston wants to do is be in a game of catch-up with this Miami team, because we kind of know that Jimmy Butler, you know, when you give an opportunity to Jimmy Butler to close, he kind of most likely does it. I'm a little disappointed in the last couple of games he's had, but I don't expect him to be horrible in this Game 7.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jose, now is when you need your best players to get the job done for you. And I thank you for the phone call. Thanks for checking in. And Jimmy, aside from the last 3 seconds of the game, or maybe before the final 3 seconds, Jimmy did not have a good game. You know, he was not good at all in Game 6. So much so that you know, and I'm right there with everybody else, right? We were raving about this guy, especially in the Knicks series, even in the beginning of the conference finals. How good this guy is, how underappreciated this guy is. He always shows up in the postseason when the games matter the most. And then he pulled a disappearing act on his own home floor the other night until the very end, and he started making some shots. I'd be very surprised if he goes out there and struggles to the extent that he was hurting on Saturday. You know, because this is where you lay it all out on the line. This is it. This is when legacies are defined. You know, if you have a game, unfortunately, you know, we talk about John Starks, right? When I say John Starks, what do you think of with John Starks?
The dunk.
Well, I mean, aside from the dunk.
And the Game 7.
Right. Game 7.
Right.
Right? If one of these great players, whether it's Butler, whether it's Jason Tatum, you know, even throw Jaylen Brown into the mix. If one of those guys goes out there tonight and shoots, you know, 3 for 20, and his team loses, that automatically gets attached to them, and that's what the lasting impression of them is going to be for you. I hope it doesn't happen, but it could. Here's Jimmy talking about Game 7.
I tell him, ain't nothing that you can do about it now. All you can do is move on. But I'm honestly proud of the guys to never give up, fight to the very end, and giving us a chance to win this basketball game. It didn't go our way, part of it. It hasn't been going our way a lot this year. So this is nothing new. We got to go on the road and do something special, but we got a special group, so why not it be us?
And that's why, like, if you told me that the Heat are going to win this game tonight, I wouldn't be shocked, right? Because in NBA history, this has happened a few times. Now, 2 times in the so-called modern era, where a team, you know, Utah with Malone and Stockton, they had a 3-0 lead, got pushed to a Game 7, won the game. You know, Dallas Mavericks with Dirk, once upon a time in the early 2000s there, they had a 3-0 lead, got pushed to 7. They came back and won it. But those two teams, they won Game 7 on their home floor. Miami had that opportunity to close it out on Saturday and couldn't get the job done. Now they have to go on the road to do it in a Game 7. As the team that had that 3-0 lead. That's the difference as far as teams that have actually done this before. Let's say hi to Ray in Somerville. He's up next here on 98.7. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day.
Same to you, Ray. What's going on?
So I told the screener, yes, absolutely, the Celtics, because the Celtics are the NBA's franchise. They get the 7th game at home. They get the only game on TV today, so if they don't show up as the 2 seed, playing the 8 seed, even though it doesn't look like that matters that much anymore.
I don't think it matters at all at this point, not in the conference finals.
Yeah, show the fact. But I'd like to say this. There's a little pressure on Riley to figure out you know, what he needs extra, because this will be, what, the second time in 4 years that he's there in the final, to count the bubble. You know, listen, your team is there. You're not getting that player. Now, if you want to say that Hero's hurt and that's the reason why, but there was a couple of times where if Butler's not in the game, they got no offense at all. And that's why I think the pressure's on after this series or after this year. And I don't think anybody's beaten Denver, so I think it's a lost point, but that's my idea. I'd like to know what you think about Pat Riley needing to get another player.
Well, I mean, I'm with you there, Ray, but I don't think that, you know, the pressure is on Riley when you consider, you know, three out of the last 4 years, they were in the conference finals, minimum. They made it to the finals in 20. They had a game seven against the Celtics last year for the Eastern Conference Championship, right? They're almost in the same exact spot they were a season ago. So I don't know if there's pressure. I mean, obviously everybody would love to win a championship and to get to the finals and that sort of thing, but I mean, it's not like they're swinging and missing and missing out on the playoffs altogether. It's not like they're, you know, the Orlando Magic or something like that. This is a good team. And I don't think seeding and anything matters at all once you get to this point. You're in a game seven with a right to go to the NBA finals to the winner. It doesn't matter if you're the one seed, the two seed, the eight seed. It doesn't matter what you were. You're here. You know, it's 48 minutes for the top prize. But I do agree with one thing that Ray said, though. I think that the winner of tonight's game is playing for second place. Because I don't think anybody's beaten Denver. And the only hope that maybe the winner has tonight is that you're going to catch Denver maybe flat-footed a little bit because they haven't played a game, or when the finals tips off, they wouldn't have played a game for 9 days. And as, you know, Malone was saying the other day after practice, it's tough to simulate game experience in practice after this long of a layoff. It really and truly is. So I would think that whoever wins tonight's game, the advantage is theirs game one of the NBA Finals because they're going to be in more sort of game rhythm. What do you think, Ray? Right? Whoever wins tonight, second place?
I mean, it when you consider all the rest that Denver's had, the way they've kind of run through the West, and this was a point of much contention between, really RJ led the charge on this for the show, but like I fell in line with him on this. I talked with many people during the season that felt this way, that Denver was, that there was something missing. I didn't buy Denver right. as a contender for a championship team. And throughout these playoffs, they've looked like the best team by far. It's not even close. And we've kind of proved us all wrong. So that's a roundabout way of answering your question. But, yeah, I think Denver is just patiently waiting, and they should be able to handle whoever comes out of the East.
And they got the best player.
They
never hurts.
They do. Not,
never
not,
hurts.
Not the MVP, but the best player.
No.
Guy setting triple-double records in the playoffs, though.
Wonder if we could ask Kendrick Perkins what he thinks about Jokic and his value. You know, and some of those MVP trophies that he got along the way. Anyway, that's another story for another day. You know what we're going to do right now? We're going to do a little getting to know you. And getting to know you is brought to you by Sharp Hat. So, Ray, I'm going to turn things over to you.
All right, well, we've got imaging for this, so let me hit that first.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DNR.
I don't know who you are.
This is
Oh, my God.
All right, so a couple things before we begin.
A lot of pressure here with this, by the way.
Not necessarily. I think you'll do fine. Usually we start tying things into the All-American Forward giveaway for the qualifier for Rick's Bronco here, as you've been reading about this morning.
Sure.
We won't do that today. That will return tomorrow with Rick and Dave so that, you know, we can do the usual listener retention drills that we do later on in the show. So if you're listening for the Bronco qualifier, none of that today. We'll get back to it.
LRDs, listener retention drills.
There you go. But in terms of the getting to know you, are you familiar with the getting to know you segment?
Not as familiar as probably I should be, but I think I'll be able to manage.
All right. So what we've been doing is just trying to get a little bit into the psyche of our two hosts on this fine program, Dave Rothenberg, Rick DiPietro.
Sure.
And so throughout the last couple of weeks, RJ and myself have been asking certain questions to them. And since you haven't been here, I think rather than dip into my bag and lose a couple surprises that, you know, I know Dave and especially Rick like to listen, self-listen. Hi, Rick. How you doing? So I'm going to rehash a couple of ones that, okay. I've used. And what I'll do is, before I give you the opportunity to answer, I'll tell you in short what Rick and or Dave's answers to these questions
okay.
have been.
Okay, that works.
So, I'll start you off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to do this one. And I feel like I know the answer to this question, so
sure.
this is kind of like validation. Honestly,
there's a lot. I'm telling you, there is a lot of pressure. You're talking about a hot seat. This is a hot seat right now.
I'm just looking for validation on this one. So this is a softball, basically.
Yeah.
Do you feel you have a best friend at work? And if so, who? Now, Dave answered his buddy, John Winthrop. He calls him his BFF now. And Rick's should have been fairly obvious. Rick's, of course, the great Michael Kay. So I'll ask you, Dan, who's your best friend at work, if you have one?
Good question. I mean, I've known Don the longest, right? I mean, like out of the people that work here.
It's like I said, this is a softball. This is
right.
This is just to get you going.
Yeah, that's that out of the roster of individuals that work here. Yeah, I've known him the longest. Absolutely.
So it's definitely Don LaGreca.
Sure.
The daily Don, you moron.
The daily
what do you
Don.
Think it is?
I just look for opportunities to play Don drops. Honestly.
It works. It works. It's evergreen. It's timeless.
Earlier you discussed Wayne's World.
Sure.
A little Top Gun action. And you haven't been to the movie theater much.
Mm-mm.
But you say you prefer watching them at home. So this actually works out pretty well.
Okay.
What is a movie
you
can watch anytime it's on? You can drop everything and just plop down on the couch and say, oh, I'm watching the rest of this.
Wow.
Nonstop all the way through. Dave chose The Godfather. Parts one or two, and Rick, it turns out, is a big Caddyshack guy.
You could definitely go Godfather. Like, I mean, who can't? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's easy. Wow. But there's a lot. See, it's not just one. There's a lot of them, right? I mean, that's fair. I'm going to try to vary it up to give you a different answer, just so I don't say, you know, Godfather, whatever.
What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
Oh, man. Probably, like, I would say one of the Rocky movies.
Not Rocky V, though.
No, not Rocky V. I would say probably more like 1, 2, hell, even 4, maybe. Just because, like, that... 4 was the first one that, you know, like, came out when I was kind of, like, old enough to actually, like, know that a Rocky movie was coming out. Yeah. Throw the towel. Saw that in the movies, as a matter of fact.
So that was your end point?
Kind of, like, sort of.
So did you know anything about Apollo by that point?
Oh, no, absolutely.
So totally wasn't as devastating to you as it probably... I imagine, like, when people saw Apollo die... And,
no, can I tell you something?
Spoiler alert for those who haven't seen Rocky IV. For those who saw Apollo Creed die, like, that must have been, like, the shock of
no,
shock.
I was a kid. I watched the other three, obviously, like heavily, you know, on, like, you know, at home or whatnot, VHS. You know, so watch the other three all the time. And so, like, when this new one came out, I remember I went to go see it in the theater, and was into it.
He dies.
Yeah. And I remember somehow, this is way back before the internet. Don't ask me how or why I knew this, but I had actually gotten the spoiler. And I'm like a young kid.
Pull this off?
Don't ask me how, but I knew beforehand going in.
You knew people.
That something bad was going to happen to Apollo. How about that?
You just knew that something bad was going to happen. You didn't think he was going to die, but...
No, I think I knew that. I was, you know, what was he? What were we talking about? I was, you know, 7 years old or 8 years old, whatever it was, and I knew that part of the story. Crazy. I'm sure it was the adult supervision that probably passed that down to me.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Side note, do you know how, like, when you Google something or, like, you speak something and then all of a sudden you can't stop seeing something related to it online?
Yes.
So I remember, like, looking at some Rocky IV clips the other day.
Yes.
And now, like, do you know the one thing that I'm getting, like, nonstop advertising for now that it's summer?
What's that?
Apollo Creed swim trunks. Like the American flag swim trunks Rocky ended up wearing.
Those would be awesome.
You know, I really
those
want
those would be awesome.
But you know, that's the worst thing. Like, I actually gave it. I was like, oh, man, that sounds really good. And I clicked on it. I was fully prepared to buy them. They're ridiculously overpriced, by the way.
How much are they?
It's like $60.
Where do you buy them from? Who sells those?
I think of we've done
ads for Amazon
them.
Or something?
No, I think we've done ads for them. Are you familiar with the Roosevelts?
Yes.
Yeah, those folks, those fine folks over at Roosevelt.
You know, Sam, I think I can pull that off.
But here's the thing. I was ready to give in.
Yeah.
Even at that price, they're all sold out.
Of course.
It's got to be a bestseller.
You know what you got to do? You got to buy them during the off season. Meaning, like, you know, buy them in the winter when nobody's thinking about swim trunks or anything like that.
I was totally committed to paying $60 for swim trunks.
Remind me in December, and that's what we got to maybe go online and purchase. I'm all there. Oh, my God. I didn't even know you could get those.
Now that I've mentioned this to you, you'll get the answer.
And you know what? I would even get, like, a fake championship belt to put around them, too, when I'm strutting
out
there. Well,
you could always get, like, the fantasy football belt or something like that. Get something customized. It's easy enough.
Easy. Yeah, I'm going to be the world champ.
Listen, you'll probably pay less for the belt than you did for the shorts.
Now, if you actually put on, like, boxing gloves and you go walking around, then I think
crazy. In all seriousness, my hope would have been to get them for July 4th, and I put on the red, white, and blue boxing gloves and get the Uncle Sam top hat, come out to Living in America.
James Brown?
I totally would do it.
Love it.
I would absolutely do it. But
that would be a scene. We could do it on Columbus Avenue, just the whole, you know, it was like a mini parade. Carrying the boombox down the street or whatever, blasting the James Brown. I'm sure that's going to be totally normal.
I'm not sure that'll be accepted in Midtown. Why are people blocking traffic? Get out of the way. What is a secret talent you have that not many people know about? Dave's was kind of a cop-out. He says that he can burp on demand, and he did prove it. And also he said hand farting. You familiar with the old hand farting?
I can't do it, but yeah.
That thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very proud of that. And Rick's, this should be no surprise to you, but he, as a former goalie, he can do a split.
Secret talent.
Something you're very good at. Like, you know, not just, you know, willy-nilly here. Like, something you're very good at, nobody knows about.
Well, I don't know if it's a nobody knows about it, but, you know, like, occasionally we can do some pretty funny impersonations and voices. We don't trot them out regularly, so I don't know if that would qualify as secret, but they're there. We just don't press the play button every single day, so to speak.
Right, most of it's done off the air.
Exactly.
And it has to be done off the cuff.
Sure. Exactly, but that's there. It is. It's in the tool belt.
Well, for that, those that are not familiar, can you give one? Can you do your Rob Manfred again? Your Rob Manfred slash JFK.
The Rob Manfred, which sounds nothing like Rob Manfred. You mean? Doing impersonations is a very secret talent of mine. We don't do it every single day, but I figure on this Memorial Day holiday where we pay tribute to those fallen, those who pay the ultimate sacrifice for all of us, including a baseball sport that doesn't schedule every single team on this holiday because it contradicts the Players Association agreement in the new collective bargaining agreement, why teams like the Metropolitans do not play on this holiday.
You can honestly take his job right now. Right this second. Nobody would know.
And it sounds nothing like Rob Manfred, which is the beauty of it.
No, but like I said, you could totally take his job. You could instill the robo-umps. Everybody would be happy.
Robo-umps are coming, by the way, as much as it pains me.
It's inevitable.
Yep.
Aaron Boone's tired of being thrown out of games.
By the way, it was nice to see Aaron Boone, actually, you know, in the dugout for all of Saturday and Sunday's games.
Did you see after the last one, like, Karen Boone was trending for a while?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was.
They did that to Booney?
I mean, like, I saw something. I don't have the exact stat. We had it on Friday, but, like, he's, like, by far, like, got the most ejections as a manager over the last few years. It's not even close.
David Bell was always that guy with the Reds. He gets thrown out a lot. He's got a short fuse.
I'm not going to do this one because you don't have children. How about this one?
Yeah.
Would you? What's your favorite team out of all of them? Like, the one you root for above most? I think I have an idea, but I want to be sure.
Probably the football team.
Probably,
right?
The football Jets there.
I mean, we work for them, so I mean,
sure.
You know, personal and business goes hand in hand.
All right. You've got a nice head of hair on your head.
Thank you.
Would you permanently trade
all your facial hair and eyebrows and hair, so every bit of hair that's on your head,
mm-hmm.
for a championship for your New York Jets.
No.
No. Didn't even think about
it. Not even thinking about
it.
All
right. So no. You know what? Shockingly enough, Dave said no. Rick said no.
I'm shocked at the Dave part of it saying no.
Well, Dave's rationale, I believe, was that he had already seen his team win a couple championships.
There you go. That's a great point. I mean, Jesus, he's seen four already.
This man spent $10,000 to go to a Super Bowl that they lost, too, so.
Oh, the Baltimore one?
The Baltimore one.
Yeah, I mean, see, you almost have to preface that question or only ask that question to somebody who hasn't seen, like, said team win a championship.
Well,
so I was the perfect target.
In your case, but you didn't even skip a beat. You went right to it.
No, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game. Now, you should have, like, asked it a different way for Dave. Like you just said, you know, would you allow someone to inject you with malaria, for example, to see your team win a championship?
He's a sick man.
It'd be even sicker, I'm saying.
Different kind of sick.
Yeah.
All right, let's close up with one more.
Mm-hmm.
What athlete
mm-hmm.
would you love to trade lives with?
Roger Federer.
Roger Federer.
Easy.
Interesting choice.
Easy.
Why Fed?
First of all, he's, you know, the greatest who's ever played his game, in my opinion. He's a global icon. He's, you know, celebrated all around the world. No controversy, no nothing. He's got more money than, you know, God. I mean, I think all of those things are pretty good answers, right? Great at his craft. You know, imagine being able to like roll out of bed in the morning and just be like, you know,
the best in the world at someone.
Yeah, like nobody on the planet is better at what I do than me.
Must be a good feeling. On that note, Dave picked Patrick Mahomes, and Rick chose Joe Burrow.
Interesting.
Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong with the great quarterbacks.
No, and quarterbacks make a lot of money too. Well, that was Getting to Know You, brought to you by Sharpad, game-changing custom software. That was a good job. That was fun. Good questions. You know, kind of uncovered some uncharted waters there a little bit. That was good. And by the way, you're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM, New York. How often do the questions kind of change hands there? Frequently or not very frequently?
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, how often do we do the Getting to Know You and, like, have to change up the questions and that type of thing?
Not too often. We've only done it for about 3 weeks now.
So there's at least, you have a nice, like, pool to choose from.
We've got a few, and we'll continue adding to it as we go along.
Like, when do you go back to the drawing board and you're like, all right, you know, we gotta come up with some new stuff?
We've got a few good weeks of content, I say, in the chamber. At least 2 or 3 weeks of content here.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
I gotta tell you, though. I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer or anything like that, but hasn't the whole like holiday weekend thing kind of flown by? Like it's already Monday. Like where did the weekend go? Maybe because the weather was like super nice and hopefully you got a chance to go outdoors and whatnot, but how are we at Monday, right? That makes sense?
Went by pretty fast. And I tell you, I spent a lot of the weekend just trying to make sure that I avoided the chaos of the Taylor Swift concert because I live so close to the stadium these days.
Dude,
but
let me tell you something. I had no idea. Like, I'm not all up on the Taylor Swift stuff. Obviously,
I got to tell you, I could not tell you one song of hers beyond like the catchy, like everyone knows the chorus part. I don't know the titles. I know nothing.
I'm right there with you. And even my wife isn't like a huge fan. I mean, she probably knows more than you and I do, but like, she's not like, you know, not once did she say to me, hey, could we go to one of these concerts? She didn't say that to me one time, like whenever, not that I would have been able to maybe get tickets anyways, but whatever. Just the sheer like pandemonium that went along with these shows. I couldn't believe it. Like, I know that the tickets went on sale like late last year and everybody was freaking out with Ticketmaster and they couldn't, you know, get the code and, you know, the site kept crashing and everybody was, you know, boo-hoo because they couldn't get tickets. And all right, that happens. You know, I get it. But first of all, it didn't process that there was three of them. It was during the holiday weekend, no less. Like, why would they schedule them for the holiday weekend? That you're really asking for trouble when you talk about congestion and traffic and the whole nine yards. And I guess they went off without a hitch. Like, I didn't hear any sort of issues or read anything online that this wasn't working and there was traffic and people couldn't get in or people couldn't get out. And, you know, there was some sort of error and they were stuck at the gates for 2 hours because the scanners wouldn't work. Or I guess everything was A-okay. No arrests, at least none that I, you know, heard of. So I guess everybody had a good time.
And among, seems that way. Didn't hear any negatives.
Yeah. And among those that took in multiple shows, believe it or not, was our good buddy, the quarterback of the New York Jets. How about that?
So he's a big Swiftie?
He's a Swiftie. Self-proclaimed. Self-proclaimed. He said he was going to a show. Like last week they asked him, he said he was going to go to a show. But you didn't know which one. So he went, what was it, Saturday, right? He goes Saturday. And then, much to I think a lot of people's surprise, Ray, he was back there last night too. He went two nights in a row.
Who knew?
Hanging out in the VIP tent with all the big fans.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan.
So you're going to be there this weekend. Now, who do you go to Taylor Swift with?
I got some friends who are also big fans who are kind of in my age group, so we're going to go together.
Well, that was with my buddy Adam Schein over on Mad Dog last week when Aaron went on, and he was asked what his favorite song and album are.
My favorite album is Folklore. My favorite song off that album is probably August.
He's on. He could just be making that up. I would have no idea what he's talking about.
No, that's legit. That, like, he knows what he's talking about because I think he also, like, dropped what his favorite video is. He actually knew a video. I can't tell you the last time I actually sat and watched a music video because I didn't even know there still were music videos. There's no MTV anymore. So I guess these all.
Is that officially over?
There's no MTV.
No, I saw that MTV was going out of business. But
MTV News is done.
Dead. Nah.
And the only thing that MTV has is, like, TV shows, right? Like, they have all those, like, fake reality type programs.
Shame.
So no, I mean, like, he came from, I don't think you manufacture that type of an answer. Like, you have to know what you're talking about. And hell, he went to two straight shows. He was hanging out with Miles Teller, the actor, who was in the new Top Gun, among other things. And his wife, and they went on vacation, I guess, a couple of years ago to Hawaii together. Vacationing together. And he was there on, you know, the internet, social media, like everybody's got the phone. Everybody takes the picture. They spot you. So they got him early checking into the VIP tent on the floor on Saturday. And then lo and behold, they spotted him again on Sunday. He was talking it up with Paul Rudd at last night's show. Ant-Man. Ant-Man goes to see Taylor Swift.
I don't even know how to respond.
I mean, it's not these just
guys,
that.
These guys are all Swifties, I guess.
I guess so.
I'm a Swiftie.
Well, no, you're not.
Kay went, right? He went on Friday.
I saw at least a Friday Kay went. I don't know if he pulled an Aaron Rodgers and went on Saturday.
What I'm curious to see, like seriously, I mean, maybe Kay could talk about it, but people that did go, I just want to know logistically, like if you had a car and you were driving, how bad of a traffic nightmare it was for you and an inconvenience.
Well, I like made points when I had to go on any sort of excursion shopping. You talked to me.
Well,
over
you
the weekend,
and I talked on Friday
right.
afternoon. You
and,
wanted
and I was
to get out
and
about.
I was grocery shopping yeah. for the weekend.
Very smart and, by you.
And I made a point to just avoid any of that Route 3 traffic. So I didn't see any, even to the stadium traffic. I think I lucked out at that point. But I know that they had regulations that said if you didn't have a ticket to the concert, you couldn't get in the parking
lot. Which, by the way, ended up being bogus. Because
really?
I saw people like on the news and so on and so forth.
So people were tailgating.
They were tailgating. They showed a bunch of people. Like I saw the videos online of a bunch of, you know, packs of, they were mostly girls, like packs of them just like sitting there and singing along to the songs while they were being performed in the stadium and they were out in the parking lot.
What do you bring to a Taylor Swift tailgate?
Taylor Ham.
Nice.
Come on, give me a real one. Give me a full one. Give me the full. There you go. Thank you. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to cross her based on the lyrics of most of her songs. So.
Right, they write a song about you, and then you get scorned forever.
I thought it was only if you were like an ex or something. So like any sort of, I mean, did Kanye get one? Did Kanye get a song?
I don't know. I don't know the catalog well enough.
See, if Kanye got a song, then we're talking. Because he definitely crossed her, right? If you can think of anybody that crossed Taylor Swift.
But here's what I'm trying, I guess she's popular, but she's not at that Taylor Swift level. Last summer, we went to the Lady Gaga concert at MetLife Stadium. Again, not my cup of tea, but a good friend of mine who works at the stadium offered me a pair of suite tickets for the show. So no charge. I said, absolutely. I asked my wife, would you like to go? She said, sure. Yeah, why not? What? Let's go. So we went. We had a great time. Great time in a suite. Food and drink were fantastic. I can't stress that enough. The music, the show, whatever. But, you know, that's kind of like a younger crowd. And I would assume kind of like similar to the type of age range that would maybe be at the Taylor Swift concert. Point I'm making is this. We drove. We had a spot in the main lot. Getting out of there that night was hell on earth. Like, it took us forever to get out of the complex. Like, they had us, they were routing us back around, like, you know where the Giant training facility is, Ray? Like, over there?
Yep.
And we were back behind there, and then it took us forever to get back on the turnpike in the main road. So my point is,
it's not ideal trying to get out of
it's
there.
It's not ideal. And I don't think that show was anywhere near the pandemonium that ensued for one of these. That's what I'm saying. It must have been, it probably took you hours to get out of there. If you had a car.
Well, better you than me. That's all I can say. God bless you.
Javi's in the car. He was at the show last night. I got to hear the breakdown. Javi, good morning. What's going on, my friend?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. So you were at the show.
I was at the show. Well, we got tickets. Luckily, we were in a suite. You know, not bad, the price. You know, I know it's insane, the price. But for a suite, it was not bad. It was honestly, you know, it was for my wife. She wanted to go. We went. It was actually what you're saying. You're going to be surprised. It was one of the most incredible. I'm going to be deaf for a week. It was the loudest I've ever been in a stadium in my life. I swear, when she started singing, MetLife was shaking. And I looked at my wife. I'm like, it's shaking. I've never experienced something like this. It's a real thing, the Swifties. And honestly, getting out of the stadium, it was not that bad. It took about 20, 25 minutes. We parked at the end of the lot. We right when she finished, we got out. It was not as bad as you say, but it was really one of the most incredible experiences, concerts I've ever been to.
Well, you know what? I did read along those lines that they said how crazy loud it was, and I even like read a couple people saying that it was like shaking and stuff. But I'm glad you had a good time, and I'm glad that you got out of there and no problem too, Javi. That's good, and I guess maybe because, you know, if like it's younger kids who are going to the show, and obviously they don't have driver's license, they all kind of like pack into one car, right? And so maybe right, so you have like less cars in the lot.
Yeah, there's a parent pickup sign outside the stadium. I saw it was kind of funny.
And they didn't want them hanging around for that reason, I guess. Like that, as Ray was saying, they didn't want them because it would have just created some craziness.
You would think the Giants, you know, Jets won the Super Bowl in that stadium and the last second touchdown, Hail Mary. It was like the whole show was just loud. And
it was and it was 3.5 hours, I saw, right?
Yeah, it was started. She came out around 7:50 and it ended around 11:30.
That's insane. See, I never would have guessed that. Because I thought there'd be like opening acts and that sort of thing, which is kind of like part and parcel now for a lot of like the modern acts.
There was two opening acts actually. It started at 6:30.
Wow. And so she still performed for 3.5 hours.
She performed for 3.5 hours.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Well, Javi, I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah. Thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate the 411 on the show. 3.5 hours, man. At least you're getting your money's worth. If you had to go through hell to get the tickets, you know, that's something those people are going to remember at least. That's like Springsteen territory, 3.5 hours. Dang.
Kudos to her. That's impressive.
Yeah, kudos to her. And you know what? Kudos to her as a performer that, as I said, people that had to, you know, God knows what they had to give up or where they came from to get these tickets, which a lot of people were like giving up their firstborns to get them. You got your money's worth. You know, that's what you want when you pay for something. So, hey, hopefully that stadium is going to be rocking this year in the fall / the winter for the football teams. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers got a little bit of a taste of it, of what that place could hopefully sound like when he was at the couple of concerts here the last two nights.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.